Welcome to another episode of Uncensored with Penny Faree, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Uncensored. In this week's episode, we go inside the fight for accountability in local government. We speak to the man who wouldn't back down. Just 7 days ago, we watched as sitting mayor and council, Alan Gidi, and his deputy, Jabulo Tsele, were fired by the ANC due to a series of scandals and allegations of financial mismanagement. Joining me today is Councillor Comin Kleko. He's a chairperson of the Independent Alliance and one of Kwadukuza's most outspoken voices in council. Comi has been on the front line of the story from the very beginning, raising red flags about the mayor's misconduct shortly after he assumed office last November. With the mayor now recalled, is this the beginning of a cleanup, or is the political machinery still in place, just with different players? Morning, Comi, and welcome to the show.
Morning, Henny, and mornings to the viewers at home.
They say a week is a long time in politics, and in Kwadukuza, it feels like a lifetime. Now, it seems our municipality has become ground zero for what many have called a captured council. Comi, let's go back to the moment when the car issues first came to light. You shared those details publicly on social media, and it sparked a major outcry. And Ali Ngidi also slapped you with a defamation order, but you never backed down. What exactly were you seeing at the time that made you feel you had to bring this into the open?
Well, Penny, the first thing is this. When you're being elected to the office, first of all, you take an oath. You say that you'll be a transparent first citizen of Kwadukuza. You'll be honest in whatever that you'll be doing. And when you start abusing your power or your office, it becomes questionable to us.
Yeah.
I know that some of us will keep quiet, but people like myself who know that I did not take myself to the council, but it's people that voted for me to go to council. I said, I'm not going to keep quiet. The Independent Alliance is not going to keep quiet. Yeah. We'll question what is actually happening. We heard that the car was actually allocated to be used by his wife and kids.
Yeah.
Well, we followed the car. The first picture that we took was in Durban. And we said, no, this thing is true. Then we followed. We wanted to get this confirmation that this car is actually being used as a kid's transporter.
Yeah.
We then went to Kwanontlemvu High School. We saw the car coming in. It was 10 past 7. We took pictures just to ensure that when we start questioning this thing, we'll have all the evidence in our side.
Yeah. And, you know, when that exploded, I mean, the media took hold of it. It became a national story. I mean, it played out in all our provincial newspapers as well. It went further after that from the spending on the car hires that him and the deputy were actually using. Then we uncovered the invoices for his private security that were costing ratepayers 173,000 rand a month. Now, how was it that council actually approved that? That was what my question was. Why, if there was such an astronomical amount, and mayor's only supposed to be to have two bodyguards per, you know, that's how what the law says. Why did everyone continue being okay with it until it was publicly and there was a public outcry about that?
Well, the issue of cars were actually demanded, by the way.
Yeah, it's not something that they rent him the car?
Yes, cars were actually demanded.
Sure.
To be hired.
Yeah.
Because this guy was saying that those two cars that were actually being used by previous mayors and deputy mayor were actually witchcrafted. So they then said, no, we can't be able to use these cars. We are scared of using them.
And
then a decision was taken that cars would be hired for the mayor and deputy mayor.
And yet he didn't go for any ordinary car. I mean, he went for the top-end cars, which, you know, shows that he's so in touch with the people on the ground and what's happening at the moment. I think that was even a slap in the face for communities who are battling at the moment.
He ensured that he takes the most expensive cars.
Unbelievable.
Not just any car.
Yeah, it was
the issue of guards that were looking after his house. It's not something that went to council.
Okay.
He went to the MM's office and demanded that his property be looked after.
Yeah.
by a quite good number of people.
Yeah, they say 10
and
guards.
10 guards yeah. that were actually looking after his property. The first time I saw that, I actually drove past his yard, and I saw heavily armed 4 guys carrying rifles, and I questioned that.
Sure.
Well, I had to investigate that underground up until I found those invoices, which are confirming that indeed it's quite Duguza residents that are actually paying for those guards that are looking after his site.
And that happened, I mean, shortly before the mayoral in Mbeza, those invoices were shed on the public platform again. Thank you for that.
Yes.
And then the ratepayers were so outraged that he didn't actually pitch up at the Mbeza, Adam Shlali. He cited that he had a doctor's issue as well. And then after that, we interviewed some residents from Nkombongo, his ward, who said that he used his powers to put in jail 2 of his adversaries who are very outspoken about him, and they stayed in jail for 8 years. So 8 days. So it was a plethora of events that led to him. But he slapped you with a defamation order, and I looked at it, you know, and he said, if you don't cease and desist doing this in public, there will be repercussions. And yet it didn't stop you. You continued. Were you not scared?
Yes.
I mean, to defend yourself, we've seen that. We, you know, news, journalists get slap orders all the time where they try and gag you to scare you. But then a lot of times is you don't have the legal resources to fight these in court, and they do. So that's how they it's a you know, ploy that they use to silence those who are publicly talking.
Yes, definitely, man. I know that when I started fighting against crime in Gwadduguza Municipality, especially corruption or abuse of power, I know that there are things of this nature that will come my way.
Yeah.
But I said, well, when they come, I'll see how I'm going to actually face them. Fortunately, there were people who were saying that, look, if these guys actually taking to court, we'll, you know, see what we can do.
Yes.
And I trusted on that. But I said, well, let him take me to court. If a need comes that I might be arrested for speaking truth, well, I'll be arrested. There are so many people that were arrested and killed for speaking truth. But I'm not going to back down, because I know that these are means of threatening me.
And
these are means of ensuring that I keep quiet.
Yeah.
And I said, look, there are so many other things that are still in my bucket that I needed to expose. A number of other things, including bodyguards that are earning over 100,000 rands a month each. So those are things that we're still intending to expose.
Yeah.
So while being threatened with legal letters, that is nothing for us.
And there are a lot of civic organizations who would back you up, because you speak truth to power. Now, in February, Mayor Ngidi, he publicly declared that the municipality grading issue, the very matter at the center of the municipal protest recently, had been resolved. And then I had the provincial chair of the workers' union, Sam Wu. He said that there were unresolved disputes ranging from salary disparities and unpaid overtime to what the union says is the municipality's ongoing failure to honor its own commitments. Now, you stated that Ali actually made promises to the union workers, but there was something more sinister behind this strike that's been happening. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Well, this is what happened, man. When this guy came in, he brought closer guys that are working for Gwadduguza Municipality to be his advisors. And unfortunately, those are people that has their own interests. And some of these people are actually chief stewards within the municipality. And now, if you look at a chief steward and a mayor, those people have 2 different interests, according to my understanding. Now, this guy became manipulated by his friends in relation to the issue of Gwadduguza grading.
Yeah.
Now, this guy, because I think he was cornered, I will just put it in that way.
Yeah.
He then agreed to something that he had no knowledge of, totally no knowledge of. Well, these guys have been fighting for Gwadduguza Municipality workers to be taken to grade 5, of which is not our competency. It is not our competence as Gwadduguza Council. If anything of that nature comes to us, our responsibility is to only note that item.
Yeah.
We do not say we support or we don't support that item, because it's a decision that can be taken by a bargaining council and SALGA. Like when grading was actually moved from grade 4 to grade 5 for counselors, we wanted to move to grade 5 way before that letter came to council. But it was not our responsibility, it was not our competency to do.
Yeah.
If it was upon our powers, we were to move ourselves from grade 4 to grade 5 way back. But we had to wait for processes. Just like workers, they had to wait for processes to unfold in the right way. Now, after the first strike, this guy went to workers and said, on the 1st of July 2025, I will ensure that a council sit and approve you workers to be moved from grade 4 to grade 5. He said he's going to make sure. Now, he confirmed, he actually made that promise to the workers. And workers took that.
Yeah,
because they know that this is the first citizen of Guantanamo.
Yeah,
the
mayor promises them, yeah.
And now, when the 1st of July came, he was actually threatened because workers were going to say, no, this guy is a liar. And then he encouraged that strike to take place, including his friends. They had a meeting before the strike. Look now, when workers started to protest, there were placards that were actually put on the table, but facing down. They didn't know what was actually written in those placards because their understanding was pushing Guatiguza Municipality from grade 4 to grade 5 in relation to junior workers. Now, when they started pulling those placards, they were saying, down with the MM. And then workers said, no, but this is not what we're actually pushing for.
Yeah.
This is not our issue. Now, these guys are dragging us to their own agenda.
Yeah, that's the factionalism we're talking about.
Where the fights are actually taking
place. Yes.
Because the mayor is actually fighting with the MM. Their own fights, which
those are the
don't
two
know.
Factions that are happening, or is it just like a personal fight between the mayor's camp and the municipal manager's camp?
I don't think that it's a political faction.
Yeah.
It's just a personal agenda between the mayor and the MM, of which is I don't have a proper knowledge. But it's something that I'm taking from each and every sitting of council, that these people don't get along. Now, workers said, no, we can't use these placards. This is not our agenda. Our agenda is ensuring that we're moving from grade 4 to grade 5.
Yeah.
We're not here to say that who must step down and who must not step down.
And yet, you know, when you tell me about these placards, are you saying that these marches are organized by a certain unions? I mean, those placards are, so will the workers then pitch up? They will be told, do they get paid a stipend possibly to pitch up and march? Someone said they did. You know, I saw there was food organized, you know, there were food cards and that. So they get given these placards, whatever the message is on them, and then they obviously told this is what we're going to do and this is where we're going to go today. So is this correct? I mean, I witnessed something like that 2 years ago in Quatacuza when they were saying down with the mayor, and I saw that it was an organized march, that those placards had been printed and the guys had been given T-shirts and they had been paid to turn up. Is this how it's been organized?
Let me tell you this, Penny, and the listeners at home. We have been there in politics.
Yeah.
Once a strike has food, that on its own is questionable.
Yeah.
Once a strike, you find that there are people that are distributing KFC, you must have so many questions in place.
Yeah.
Because when you go to a strike, you are driving your own personal interest, that I want my salary to go up.
Yes.
It's not an interest that needs to be sponsored by you. What interest do you have in me for you to buy me KFC? There was KFC that was being distributed, alcohol distributed.
Yeah.
Now, whose agenda is this? For this person to fork so much money to fund, to actually make people that were over 100 to drink alcohol, to be given KFC. Now, that on its own, it tells you clearly that the strike was actually funded by certain individuals to sponsor their own interest.
Yeah, and drive their agenda. This is, I mean, these allegations are, you know, as you're saying, I was there at the strike, I covered it, and it didn't actually appear that these people, you know, the issue were at heart. You know, they were almost there because they were told to be there. They were getting paid a stipend, as we've said.
When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security. As the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.